All right, good morning. Welcome to the May meeting of the Gambling Control Board. I'll call the meeting to order. We'll begin with introductions of the board, and I'll begin to my left.
Good morning. My name is Greg McNeil, board member from Fairfield.
Barbara Dresser, board member from Saco.
Al Schofield, board member from Winthrop.
Bob Harmon, board member from Raymond.
And good morning. I'm Tim Doyle, and I'm from the town of Turner. Next, I would ask Mr. Champion to introduce himself and his staff.
Good morning. Will Champion, executive director. Just wanted to check over, see if he was coming in. Today with us, in my staff, is the office specialist, Kate Boynton, licensing office assistant, Mallory Riley, inspector supervisor, Vicki Gardner, our detective with the state police, Don Armstrong, and today with us is the assistant commissioner, Janet Jordan.
Okay, and last but certainly not least, we have two members of the attorney general's office. If they would introduce themselves.
Yes, Katie Johnson, assistant attorney general.
And Ron Kay, assistant attorney general.
Thank you. That brings us to the approval of minutes of the April 16th meeting. Those were sent to the board ahead of today's meeting.
Move the minutes.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? No recommended changes. All those in favor? It's unanimous. All right, brings us to the executive director's report. Mr. Champion.
All righty, good morning. In the area of operations in April, there were 11 shipments of machines and/or associated equipment shipped to or from licensed facilities. On-site inspectors completed 648 observations, 31 checklists. 5 minor violations were being monitored from our activity log. There were no patron complaints. We had 1 disposition of a formal report, which was sent to members for your review per statute, and there were 13 self-exclusions. For the month of April, we have identified an increase of 3.9% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus April 2018. Year-to-date, we've identified an increase of 1.1% versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported an 8.7% win for the month of April for slots and 22.6% win for table games. Oxford's payback percentage for April was 91.3% with an average gross win per machine of $230.12. Hollywood reported 11.1% average win for the month of April from slots and 26.9% win for table games. Hollywood's payback percentage for April was 88.9% with an average gross win per machine of $155.92. As a result of a legislative, or to give you a legislative update, this session there were 21 bills regarding some type of gambling activity, 10 regarding nonprofit charitable gaming by eligible organizations, 8 left committee ought not to pass, which included 6 sports wagering bills. 2 have been tabled regarding tribes having slot machines and table games. The committee had a work session yesterday on bill LD-553 for sports wagering, which is the remaining bill to propose this activity for Maine. Because of the unconfirmed speculation of a vast deposit wagering bill being presented to allow licensing in place of the RFP, it is on hold until the end of the session, which is in the next 2 weeks. If nothing is presented, we will submit the RFP for publication. And I also have no information on any of our agency bills. That is my report.
I'm almost willing to stop betting on the end of the session being within 2 weeks.
Yeah, like I said, we had those meetings yesterday, and they were pretty adamant that things were going to happen in a couple of weeks. So.
Okay.
But at least we're in the queue. I would only inquire that because this session will be done in between this board meeting and the next, if whether or not there's some type of board approval we need, or can we just go ahead and submit the RFP that was in publication the last time before it was withdrawn. You know what I'm saying? In other words, instead of waiting 2 more weeks for an approval till the next board meeting, if I need approval now, maybe I can get that now and be able to submit the RFP procurement.
Mr. Gannon?
If I may ask the director questions. So do you intend to materially change the RFP from the version that this board has?
No, not at all. The only thing that would be updated, obviously, would be the dates that the questions are submitted and then the dates of the proposal.
It's not on the agenda. I would say if the board would give its assent or whatever, I don't think you need to actually vote on it. I think you've already approved the form of the RFP.
We've not only approved the form of the RFP, but we've asked that it be pushed through without unnecessary delay. We understand the political circumstances of waiting for another bill. So I believe it is the board's intent to move as quickly as we can. I think it's been held up longer than it should have.
So to that extent, I don't think the board needs to vote on it again because they've already authorized the RFP. And it's just a matter of resubmitting the exact same RFP. So I don't think they have to vote on it.
Okay. Is the board good with that direction? Okay. And we had also are encouraging the department to submit a bill to allow for attendance by Skype. Mm-hmm. I know from talking to others, there's a Right to Know committee that's working on the same issue. Can you tell us where we stand with that? Obviously, at this point, I don't believe that bill's going forward from the department this session.
No, I've not heard of any agency bills in relation to the Gambling Control Board. I have no update on where they're at.
Okay. My understanding, just again from a private conversation, is the Right to Know Committee is working on this more broadly, and I believe looking to make the change more broadly than as we're recommending. So we just want to encourage the executive director, the commissioners listening, to continue to advocate, if you can, on the position that this board has.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Any questions on that? Anything further, Bob?
Well, just on our agency bills, you were saying you don't know where a lot of things stand. But, well, who's tracking it? Who's monitoring for those bills for us?
Honestly, I don't even know that. I mean, I don't know if the commissioner or assistant to the commissioner could speak on it.
June, commissioner?
I'd be happy to.
Sure.
Great.
Mike Sosbach, Commissioner of Public Safety. I appreciate the question. So it's an experienced board all the way around. They are pushing hard for the last couple of weeks to include something I was unaware of, is they can actually announce public hearings in like 10 minutes on a bill, right? They're not publicizing things and waiting a few days and we come back. And so in many cases, there's a public hearing, there's a workshop to follow, and a vote right immediately thereafter. Chris Parr is a Maine State Police attorney. He's also our in-house legislative liaison. Elise Baldacci is the governor's office liaison for our department. So we've got those department-sponsored bills that are on that list with sponsors. We're just waiting for that to hit the queue, and then we'll know when they do go so that we can respond accordingly. So hopefully that's helpful. That's answering those questions. I also appreciate your patience on the RFP process and other things that are absolutely in the mix. And we've talked to our points of contact because it's a priority for all of us. And while I'm yapping, I also have reached out again around positions on the board. And I've got a call out to the chief of staff this morning because I've reached out directly to the head of boards and commissions a number of times. I also have a vacancy on the EMS board. I've done the same thing there with the full knowledge that all state departments are asking those same questions. Initial numbers were like 600 or something vacancies or openings on various boards. We're in the queue on that, but this board is beyond accommodating over the years at this point. So I'm trying to do the best we can to push a lot of those initiatives forward too. So sorry to clump all those together at one time, but that's some updates from my office.
Glad you did.
Yeah.
I do think that the legislature in the past has met over the summer to come in for confirmation day, where there might be 50, 60, 70, 100 people being confirmed on the same time. So that may still be a possibility too. But I've never seen such a backlog of confirmable positions that are waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a choke point. Everybody's pushing hard, and everybody's been waiting for a long, long time. I don't, however, know of any board that's been lapsed as long as this one has, from my perspective. But I am doing the best I can, and I am going to bump to that next level just to see if we have a priority. We can somehow jump somebody ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from the Executive Director's report?
That's it.
All right. That brings us next to the State Police report.
Good morning. This past month, there was 27 new licenses that were investigated, 51 renewal licenses, and 39 are still pending. There were 4 keto thefts in the casinos. All those funds have been recovered. A $100 bill was discovered to be counterfeit in one of the casinos. That bill has been turned over to the Secret Service, and there's no suspects on that. It was through the draw. Just an update on ongoing investigation I reported to the board last month of a theft on one of the casinos. The suspect was contacted, and a summons was issued to him for the theft. And both Bangor and Oxford PD both had 18 calls for service to the facilities. And that's all I have.
All right, great. Any questions of State Police? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Just back to unfinished business. And the first item up is the letter we discussed involving advanced deposit wagering.
Okay. The letter that we talked about at the last meeting regarding advising those people that are taking mass deposit wagering right now. The letter was put together by AG Ron Gay, and I guess we're just looking for approval to go ahead and issue these letters. And I think there was some correspondence about a particular motion in order to give me the authority to sign for the letters themselves. If not, then either you, Mr. Chair, or somebody would have to sign for it.
Okay, so the letter was sent to us ahead of the meeting to review. I have one question, but Mr. Gay, do you have anything you want to brief the board on first?
No, and for disclosure, I did draft a motion that would distinguish. This letter is an educational letter. It's not a cease and desist letter that is referred to in the statute.
Or the letter itself. That really was my question,
yeah.
Too. This stopped short of asking them to cease.
Correct. This is an educational letter. It's like, because, excuse me, our laws changed and people may have set up their businesses based on the old law, and this is just giving people an opportunity to know what our new law is. The cease and desist letter, however, in the statute says the board shall issue it. So it's not something that Mr. Champion would be able to do, but rather the board would have to actually vote on a cease and desist letter. Again, this is not intended to be a cease and desist letter.
So this would be some information comes to the department. The department sends this letter out in an attempt to educate the party that's doing this. If then we have further information that it's ongoing, there'd be some type of investigation and a cease and desist order would come from the board separately?
Yeah, typically the cease, we have, our office has some experience in cease and desist letters. Your statute's a little bit less fleshed out in this regard, but typically a cease and desist letter will also contain for the person who's issuing it exhibits that would somehow provide evidence of the activity. So this does not, this is just, you know, you're out there on the internet, you know, we don't know, we don't have evidence one way or the other. We haven't done an investigation for this person particularly, but it's more of an educational thing. The interesting thing is in terms of on specific specific investigations, this area as well as other areas unrelated to the board, but the unit on the nonprofit gaming used to be dealt with by the state police, and those activities would work through the law enforcement process. And the reason for that is they're criminal results. And so Katie and I'm the enforcement person who's been assigned enforcement for the gambling. We do civil enforcement, so a felony type of investigation and stuff like that. I think it's not going to be likely that this board will be issuing cease and desist letters. I think to the extent there's criminal activity, I've made a recommendation to the commissioner. The Department of Public Safety needs to make an enforcement sort of judgment if they want to put resources towards these type of investigations, and then have that sort of go through the criminal justice process. So I think our role would be to send these letters out and let people know. We may hear from the Department of Public Safety that they want the Gambling Control Board to be more involved, but as of right now, we are not anticipating to actually investigate these and to seek cease and desist letters from the board. That at least from my perspective as the enforcement person for the gambling unit, is what our intent is.
Okay. Any questions, Bob?
Just a question for Mr. Champion. If we approve this letter, I have no reason not to approve it, but how many letters would you send out as of today?
Well, the only thing we could go by is during the investigation of this, we went through Oregon, and they've submitted and given us a list of those that permit this or accept this type of activity. We could also go on the internet. There's several different associations. Any way that we can find out, anybody that takes advanced deposit wagering would be receiving one of these letters. It's not whether or not we actually had activity or not had activity. It's going to be anybody that accepts advanced deposit wagering will receive this letter.
So you might send out 20 letters?
Could be at least.
You don't know yet?
And between 10 and 20, probably, yes.
But well, we do have suspect that we think there is a violation of our statutes.
Well, during our inquiries with Oregon, and Bob could probably give you more information on that, but I've seen documentation that there has been activity by certain individuals that are licensed in Oregon, believe it or not, but Ron could fill us in more on that.
Yeah, actually, it's not an investigation that was done by this unit, or Gambling Control Board or the Gambling Control Unit. I happen to also be the counsel for the Maine Harness Racing Commission. And they had, interestingly, as you folks know, the Harness Racing Commission and Gambling Control Board has some degree of overlap in some areas. And so in the areas where they possess the field, if you will, based on that, they asked me to do an investigation. Now, interesting, they don't have any direct enforcement powers, okay? But the statute defines the advanced deposit wagering type of, I mean, we have a separate statute on advanced deposit wagering, but it says that if you accept bets on horse racing in the state of Maine, it's illegal, and it gives a private right of action. So, but it also gives the Harness Racing Commission the ability to issue cease and desist letters. So the statute has Gambling Control Board, has Harness Racing. The Harness Racing Commission is not taking any action, but they did ask for an investigation. And so what we did, we found out that the state of Oregon issues a multi-jurisdictional advanced deposit wagering license. I'm not here to give you my view from a legal perspective whether the state of Oregon can license things in the state of Maine, but they purport to, including all states. So there are people who have registered in the state of Oregon for a license for advanced deposit wagering. So I've reported this to the Harness Racing Commission, so I don't think this is certainly not any type of this has been publicly disclosed. So the investigation that I did for them, Road Oregon said, who is accepting wagers in the state of Maine? Because under the terms of their license, they have to list every jurisdiction that they're accepting bids or wagers. So we did develop that information, and I did forward it on to Executive Director Champion and to the Commissioner. And then it was decided that we would take this approach and recommend this approach with the Gambling Control Board. So I would say, Mr. Harmon, we know of at least 20 entities out there who are, that we know, not necessarily taking bets in Maine, but we feel they probably should be made aware. So we don't have any direct evidence right now of who's taking bets, but we do know who people are out there that are taking bets on harness racing. So there's 20, there's probably, it'll probably go as high as, I think, 40, I've heard some estimates of number of vendors.
Just as a follow-up, if I may, let's get starting to get a little bit off track here, but the state of Oregon, you reference a lot. Are they the only state that's doing advanced deposit wagering?
Well, no, I haven't done a survey of states who is doing advanced deposit wagering, but they became sort of a path of investigation because they're a state agency. I actually had to put in 2 FOIA requests, so it's rather this Maine State Harness Racing Commission made forward requests to the Oregon State Harness Racing Commission, and we developed the information that way. So I don't know. I didn't do a survey of all the states, but I was aware that Oregon was doing this thanks to a tip from someone in the industry, and it did provide, you know, information of people who are doing this in the state of Maine through their own public records.
Okay, thank you.
I think important for this board to note is there's no information that the 2 casinos that we regulate were on that list.
Specifically, the state of Oregon responded that, and there is a relative, if you will, corporately of one of our licensees that does advanced deposit wagering, but the state of Oregon indicated that they were not accepting wagers in the state of Maine. But we haven't developed any information to either corroborate that or whatever, because we just frankly, we haven't done a direct investigation. We haven't tried to place bets, for example, with these various entities.
Should that any information concerning that come about, that's something that would be concerning most directly to this board.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, with sort of the migration from the state police to the Gambling Control Unit under the executive director, we are, at least I am, I should only speak for myself, I'm struggling with best practices, and I think I'm going to need to reach out to perhaps some district attorneys, because you know the investigatory type of considerations that I and Katie are aware of and that we utilize in civil enforcement, I think is markedly different than in criminal. And obviously a number of you are former police officers, you would probably know better than I do, because I don't do criminal prosecutions. So part of that is a learning curve for the civil enforcement lawyers as we come into areas where there is that sort of overlap. So to some degree, we're not actively pursuing these, because part of it is we don't have our practices and our investigatory type of techniques down, and we don't understand, and I know it's probably not good for an attorney to say they don't know how to do something, but I'm being honest with you. For example, what would a DA require? I mean, what type of things can we ask, can't ask? Can I have Milt go out with a credit card and place bets, you know, out there? Is that permitted? Is that going to be thrown out in court? So there are a lot of factors. This is a new area. The Gambling Control Board was given jurisdiction over something that is a criminal activity. And that's a relatively new area. Typically in the past, you know, we've been involved in civil enforcement.
Yeah, and just because we're getting down into the weeds of this whole thing, but we're a regulatory board, we're not a law enforcement board. And so our concern primarily is if we become aware of this going on, we order a cease and desist order. At least that's what the law contemplates now. And two, if we become aware that an entity that we regulate is violating a law, that would also be concerning. So we can leave it at that. You can continue to explore our response to this. In terms of the letter, is the board recommending any changes?
I have just one question. I think you called this an educational letter. Would it be wise to put anything in here that would say, you know, for corrective action, you can do the following, to follow through with the educational piece of it? Or are you going to take all the calls and take care of that?
Milt, if you want to answer that, but I, since I wrote the letter, I'll tell you why I didn't put that in there. This is an awareness. This is to raise someone's awareness and not necessarily tell them how to comply. So typically we would not do that. These business people would have their own sort of compliance departments, and they would pass this letter on. Typically, as regulatory agencies, we don't advise people what would be necessary to comply. And the reason why is if we bring an action for it, they'll say, well, wait, you guys said in your letter, as long as I did X, Y, and Z, I'll be okay. And it's just impossible to cover off every potential contingency. So we don't want to give someone a get out of jail free card inadvertently, you know. So that's why this letter is intended to raise the awareness. This is the law, be aware of what the law is, and then they need to take action.
And that's fine, but I would just look at the informational part of this.
Barbara?
Ron, can you tell me, I know the letter addresses horse racing, harness, or thoroughbred races. Does our statute prohibit all parimutuel advanced deposit wagering? I'm thinking dogs. There are other types of parimutuel races, and I'm not sure if it should be limited.
The language is tracked directly from the statute.
It is, okay.
So there's very little of my words in there. I would say 70% of the letter is actual statute.
Any other questions regarding the letter? I have just one other recommendation as part of the letter. If we're going to send this out to, you know, 10 to 40 people, I'd recommend we also take some form of the letter and just put something on our website as general information. It's there for anyone who wants to read it. They go there. It lets them know that what they may be contemplating is illegal at this point. Okay.
And then just to expound on what Ron was saying, is that, I mean, at the bottom it says if you require additional information, you can contact us, but honestly, even irregardless of whether it's nonprofit, ADW, casino, or whatever, generally we don't give legal advice. We'll direct them to their own legal counsel for answers for that specific reason.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, you had a specific motion in mind? You mentioned you had some recommendations.
Yeah, I don't have it for me. Do you have it, Director Champion?
All right, so I'd recommend the motion be to authorize the Executive Director to issue the letter as drafted with a recommendation that the information also be posted on the website as general information. Somebody willing to make that?
Yes.
Okay, second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Just to be clear, though, it's for this specific letter.
Correct.
And for the avoidance of doubt, just because, you know, a year down the road, a cease and desist letter will require a specific vote by the board.
Yeah, we're talking about the letter as drafted.
All right, thank you.
All right, all those in favor? That's unanimous. Anything else under unfinished business?
No, sir.
All right, let's move to new business.
Okay. In light of the change regards to the chairman and certain board members, we kind of figured maybe there'd be the change by now. We're into May. And we were holding off on doing some of these rule updates, updating our rules. So I thought, and we didn't want to do like one in between memberships. In other words, having a few members here and then next month, if it's tabling, if any were tabled, then we'll go on to the next month under new committee members. But in this case here, basically what we want to do is repeal anything that's outdated or not, you know, we don't use the technology anymore, or we don't use certain devices or procedures or certain internal controls anymore. And so the package that I presented to you is a request to go into rulemaking for the repeal of a certain activity as mentioned in the documents that I sent to you in advance. I don't know if you want to go through each one or not.
In concept, and these were sent to the board ahead of time and we reviewed it, but in concept, can you just describe why we're getting rid of this more specifically?
Yeah,
coins, these, tokens?
These are, has more of an impact into the minimum internal controls, and then as a result of that, it also kind of rolled over into the individual chapters. The minimum internal controls were changed to take out any indication of coin, of which the slot machines do not utilize coin anymore or never have. There's indications in there in regards to hoppers, slot booths, coin vaults, all that sort of thing. We're strictly TITO, ticket in, ticket out. And so in order to go forward and looking into the other areas, which also I think we need to review, especially with some new general managers and new staff members in the facilities, that now would be a great opportunity to update things from a technological and a procedural standpoint. So this here basically is just taking coin out, taking any other indication of coin operations. Some, although most of it is a repeal, honestly we had to replace or slip in a word like and in order to make it sound appropriate, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Yes.
So really, it's modernizing the rules.
Yes.
This requires the administrative procedures process, and so you're looking for us today to approve the recommended changes to go to publication. You anticipate no public hearing, which the Administrative Rules Act allows for. So these would go out, they're posted for comment. Comments come back, the board then reviews those. If there are no, if we don't adopt substantive changes from that, then the rules become repealed or adopted, those recommended changes. And if we do make changes based on what we get back, we may or may not have to have a second public hearing depending on how big they are.
Yeah, because these are routine technical, they don't require a public hearing. So we'll actually post them. Those interested parties will have 30 days to reply in writing.
Yeah.
Then we would review, we would either accept their change or deny it for specific reasons. And then after that, then we follow the process, of course, of which would be board final adoption or approval for adoption.
Whether or not we have a public hearing really is up to the board for our comfort level of putting this information out.
Absolutely. Well, I think that the day that you receive receive it for proposal or for proposed adoption, that's the day you could actually have a public hearing as well.
Well, we either go down a hearing rabbit hole or we don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're not required to hold a public hearing in this instance. If you were going to do it, you know, now would be the time to schedule it. So.
Right, that's really what the board cover level is. If we thought what we're proposing is going to be widely commented on and we have dozens of people who want to come, then you should propose or allow for that opportunity. Something like this, probably there'll be either nobody in attendance or one person, so would be my guess.
Can I ask, just have the two casinos seen the draft?
No, not sure.
Do we, like, why wouldn't we get their input before we actually go in?
So that's what we're doing now. We're putting it out there for them to respond in writing to the comments. They can type back, we prefer this or recommend this word instead of that word.
But yeah, technically the public's supposed to get it all at the same time. You can't go to the regulated community and have them do the proposal. They will see it. They'll see it when the rest of the public sees it.
So that's what this process is. So they know it's coming, and they'll send back comments, and quite honestly, most likely they'd be the only ones that comment.
Fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other pieces from you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I've been going through the document, but it'd be pretty extensive.
Okay.
Because basically, like I say, it's just striking through certain indications, hoppers, slot booths, cash, coin, that sort of thing. Now, we did leave coin in some areas, so if you do see it in some areas, understand that they do use coin at times on at table games. So there are measures when you'll see certain areas where there is coin in there, but it's not larger aspect of it from the slot machine.
So they may not have to wear coveralls with no pockets in the hard count room anymore.
Well, no, that's still there. You know, if we get down to my plan is once we repeal these, now we can go forward with cleaning and updating. We'll probably end up doing like seven rules. You know, three sets of seven or however, four sets of seven rules at a time. And go through and update those rules word by word, word for word.
All right, Kate, procedurally, do you have any?
Yeah, my only recommendation is, you know, if you do approve these rules at this time, you know, the motion would be to approve the rules for public comment.
All right, so I think that brings us to where we're ready for a motion, unless there's anything further from the board. Seeing none, is there a motion? Motion is to approve the rules for public comment. And a second. Hearing no other discussion, those in favor? That's unanimous. All right, anything else from the executive director?
That's it, sir.
All right. That brings us to public comment. Is there anybody here that would like to have something to say? One once. All right, so that brings us to the next meeting. In terms of workflow, it's been my practice not to meet in the month of August, so I'd like to try to schedule if there's things brewing. We've got June coming up, July coming up. Some of us may or may not be here. We're gonna plan as though we're gonna be here, but June and July we'll meet. We'll take August off, okay? So our next meeting date will be June 18th. Here in this room. Hearing nothing else, I entertain the final motion.
So moved.
Motion adjourned. Is there a second? Second. Those in favor, we stand adjourned.
Do you have an